Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now. Now time for a very Detective Legend edition. Doesn't make any sense. Episode of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass to your friends, which games to make a fake drama with and drive on by.
Nailed it.
I am your Formula One expert, never seen a race, Corey. I am joined by the undercover agent himself, Basher.
Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I instantly forgot this was a double game episode. So when you mentioned the legends, I'm like, where did the legend, where was the legend in the detective agency? Did I miss something?
Oh, wait. Yeah, no, that's the wrong game. Oops. shoot. Let me go back. Rewind. Welcome to a very metal agency edition.
There we go.
Of Game Pass or Pass. I am the Metal Hellsinger himself, Corey. I'm joined by the Basher.
And Buddy the Cat. Hey, Buddy, can you get off the microphone?
Nailed it. Nailed it.
Buddy, they can
hear you. We're off to a great start. We're here to talk about Chinatown Detective Agency and Metal Hellsinger. But before that, did you know you can rate us on your favorite podcast service? Stop whatever you're doing. Hop on iTunes. Hop on Apple Podcasts. Hop on Spotify, and leave us a rating. They really help out. More people can hear about Chinatown Detective Agency and Metal Hellsinger. Isn't that what we all want? This is a tag team episode. I played Metal Hellsinger. Basher played Chinatown Detective Agency. We could not come to agreement on who should play what. That's not what happened at all. We're going to be talking about these two games, but first we're going to start with Chinatown Detective Agency from Basher over there. Here are the details on this game. Midnight in Singapore, your contact's a no-show. Your client wants answers, and your empty bank balance hangs over you. Is this one of those weird? Okay.
Buddy,
and your empty bank balance hangs over you like a neon-tinted sword of Damocles. Welcome to 2037. Welcome to Chinatown Detective Agency. The world is in a state of flux as the global economy nears the nadir of its decade-long collapse. I've never heard that word, nadir. Singapore stands as a last refuge of order, but even here, the government struggles on the brink of chaos. That's where you come in. You are Amira Dharma, once a rising star in Interpol, now a freshly minted private investigator in the heart of Chinatown. And your first client is about to walk through your door. This is on Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, PC. Single player does have cloud saves, regularly priced at $19.99, and with a main story to beat of 6 hours with a completionist of 16 hours. Chinatown Detective Agency, Basher. Or should I call you Amira?
What do you want?
Myra. I don't know anything about this game. What is this game?
Just so everyone knows, I am putting in my cat like a supervillain right now. Buddy, I need you to get down. Can you do that for me? No? All right, that's fine. You stay there. So, as you said, you play Ms. Dharma. and she opens up her own private investigation business, and in it this first kind of referral from your boss comes through, and it's all sort of uphill from there. And what I mean by that is, it's one of those games where, and for me, it tickled me, because it's like, I make the joke of always like, oh, this thing goes all the way to the top. And it's like, this game is like, no, it goes all the way to the top. So the gameplay is basically Carmen Sandiego. Okay. It is essentially, you get some clues, you talk to your case person, and buddy, you are doing way too much. Relax. You gather these clues, and then you have to be a detective, and you have to be a real world detective. Like, I didn't know the premise of this game going in. So, all right, it's just too much. Hold on a second. This guy is all over me. You're ripping out my earbuds.
Aren't you using wireless? It's 21st century, bro.
Because Buddy doesn't like wireless things. He likes playing with the wires.
Why does he? Well, that's why, because he wants to play with the wires. This is a very easily...
You dropped my phone, Buddy. All right, that's better. Okay. So, where was I before Buddy interrupted me? So this is one of those games where I went in blind, and I didn't know the exact gameplay. So most games take place in their own game universe. So when I got my first case, and it's asking me to solve a puzzle or a riddle, I'm deeply confused, deeply lost, and deeply concerned. I'm like, I tend to skip over a cutscene all the time. I tend to not pay attention in games all the time. But in a detective game, my brain's actually on. I'm ready to go here. I'm paying attention. And they're asking questions like, and they're asking for answers to puzzles and riddles. I'm like, we never talked about that. There's no plot. Like, there's no plot point here that I missed. Like, what are you talking? Like, I'm checking the email on the computer. I'm checking a text message on the phone, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, what did I miss? Turns out the puzzles that you solve in this game are references to the real world.
Okay. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Not at all. Like, I was confused as all heck for a long time. So, like, not a long time, but long enough. So I'm like, I actually went to Google just because I'm like, oh, I clearly missed something. Let me Google my way through the first case. And it turns out you're supposed to go to Google. You're supposed to check your phone. You're supposed to do the research. And that instantly changed the entire game for me, because now I'm like, oh, I'm like a real detective right now. This is not an in-game universe of almost role-playing. Like, this is like outside in the real world role-playing. Like, I need to check up on these clues. I need to go down this rabbit hole information. And some of these are super, super deep in terms of connecting one thing to the next thing to the next thing just to get the right answer.
I guess I'm confused. Like, so what are you doing? Like,
so imagine this.
Is it like a point and click? Like,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's Carmen Sandiego to the T almost. Cause imagine, so you are definitely, it's a pixelated art style. You're not doing the walking around and whatnot. Like, it is point and click. And even when you have to go from Chinatown to Dubai to Egypt to the UK, like, it's all just point and click stuff. And even when you're booking a flight, you have to book the flight. You have to pick the time. You have to go to the airport. you have to factor in the money it costs to do it. And it's all this super kind of hands-on experience.
There was a question I had and I lost it.
I should talk to the microphone.
The part I'm confused is, so if this takes place in like 2037 and you have to use real world instances, so like, I don't know. I get like, give me a rundown of the first, like, what was the answer to your first riddle or whatever?
So an example of a riddle or puzzle. I needed to find, and this is sort of a reoccurring actual puzzle in the game. You have a client who wants to, who has this currency, this super old currency or whatever, and they want you to find, they want you to bring it back to the correct museums across the world. So you have this currency, you need to figure out where this currency came from, and you need to return it to the museum in which that country's, in which it's that currency's, that country's currency rather. So they give you one kind of edge of a piece of paper, if you will, and it's just a symbol with a couple of numbers and letters. You need to then start your Googling, put in these numbers, put in these letters, see what pops up. Nothing. Okay, let's try to reverse image search. Let's do this. Let's do that. You find out it comes from somewhere in Europe, somewhere in the Middle East. Okay, so let's type that into the computer as the answer. Wrong. Do some more research, do some more digging. Turns out, although it comes from that area of the world, it really comes from like the Ottoman Empire. Because you didn't go deep enough. You type that in and that's the answer. Like everything is sort of like that, where you're basically inputting codes and answers into a computer or some sort of machine or whatever, or as dialogue or as a dialogue response, and it's looking for a very specific answer. And a lot of the times you're right there, but you're just off because you just didn't go deep enough.
Is this an educational game?
No.
Okay.
It is definitely a game where it starts off super small, like where you're literally just a Mira private investigator making a living. It turns into everything's connected to everything, connected to everything. And it goes all the way to the top. And it's this slow kind of burn of, you're involved in this? Wait, you're involved in this? Wait, this person does this? Like, it is a mystery as much as it's a detective game.
So, like, I'm intrigued by this description because it sounds kind of neat. But I guess, so, I mean, what did you think about it? Like, are you in? Are you not?
Bit of mixed feelings. Uh-oh. Here. Bit of mixed. The premise, love it. I am always down for a mystery detective game. The gameplay, I actually do kind of love it because you get to come out of the game and find real world answers to things. And you do, and I see why you asked if it's an educational game, because you do end up learning things that you would never ever try to figure, like go look up yourself. The issue I think comes in with that gameplay style is if you're looking up something in Google, especially in this time anyway, you'll just get the answer. You know, like you're not going to, half the time if you Google the right thing, you're simply going to get a website that says Chinatown Detective Agency Answers.
Right.
And
it's kind of where SEO is this game's biggest problem.
Exactly. And that really kind of breaks the immersion because you're not doing the research anymore. And I compare it to Carmen San Diego because back in the day, we had the books, and like you make the choices you go through, and it says go to page 27 for this answer, or page 37 for this answer, and you're doing the work inside this contained piece, so you never come out of it. Whereas the biggest danger for this game, gameplay wise, is the answers you find will just flat out be the answer, right. Or worse even for me is, like I said, you'll find an answer so close, like Ottoman Empire, but they want you to spell Ottoman like they used to spell it back in those times. So it's like you got the right answer, but you spelled it wrong.
Right, but you don't know what they actually want to hear.
Exactly. So it's a lot of that where it's just a little too in love with itself. A little too into the minutia of things, where really what should happen is the game should allow almost a multiple answer system, just in case people get just close enough where they know
the answer. Or be able to at least guide you in the right area.
Right. But story-wise, like, it actually kind of got me into it because, like, I want to see what this big conspiracy is about, you know? And gameplay-wise, it was there, but it's honestly just enough there to annoy the heck out of anybody.
So, I mean, it's your call, though. So, pass it? Pass on it? What are we doing here?
Give me a second thinking about that.
He needs a moment.
Listen, time out, guys. Man, it's like, it gets so frustrating at some points that it feels like you're doing the worst kind of homework. But then at the same time, when you figure something out the right way, it's so rewarding.
It's almost like an escape room. Like,
yeah, essentially. Yeah, like it's very much that. I'm going to say it's, of all the kind of point and click games out there on this platform, on this service, I'm going to say this is definitely one of the ones where it's worth picking up. And I don't, it's like you said, I don't want to add caveats to that, but you may be very frustrated at some point. And I think I think it might be okay. I think it's okay enough to where you'll be frustrated enough because you'll still find something out, figure something out, and just feel rewarded enough to where being frustrated was okay.
Interesting. Well, there you go. When it comes to, I already forgot the name of it.
I kept calling it the wrong Detective Agency.
Yeah, I kept calling it the wrong thing. When it comes to Chinatown Detective Agency, you should check it out. Have some fun with it. Now we're going to be moving on to my game that I played, which was Metal Hellsinger. Think about it. My favorite thing is about this is the first line of the description is demo available now. So there you go. Part human, part demon, and obsessed with vengeance, become the unknown and fight through the fiercest domains of hell. Destroy the demon hordes and their leaders to set yourself up for an epic showdown with the Red Judge herself. Every legend has a song, and yours is one of metal, vengeance, and destruction. Regularly priced at $39.99, this comes from The Outsiders. Available on Xbox Series X and S and PC. Does have crossplay. I can confirm that, yes, you can totally take your save over. This is one that I'll be talking about when it comes to like the PC and the Xbox version. Kind of weird, and I will go into why on that. How long to beat? We've got 4 hours for the main story. Completionist will be 7 hours. Metal Hellsinger This is one that I had been sort of kept my eye on.
Of course you did. I had no doubt you were going to play this game.
Yeah, and it's... the best way to describe it is like, it's like, what if Doom Eternal was a rhythm-based game? And that's probably a little too much. Like, Doom Eternal is a much different game, but like, what if that style of Doom 2016 and Eternal was a rhythm-based game? And it's a weird... the word I want to say, like, it's, I don't want to say it's weird, it's a unique premise. Oop, I just messed up my microphone, hang on. It's a weird premise, and I wasn't really sure what to think about it. And I know a demo came out during like one of those, like, I think it was like Summer Game Fest or something like that. I didn't play that, so this is the first time I had sort of picked it up, but it's different. Every level has a song that kind of goes with it. And along the screen, you constantly have these little arrows. And the idea is that you want to shoot on the arrows. It's, you know, kind of like a Guitar Hero or something like that. You've got the, you know, the rhythm. And whenever the note comes across a certain line, you want to play that note. And it gives you a score based on how close you were to that, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a first-person shooter, so it's different. Like, the first kind of weapon you get is a, think of it like your pistol. It's like this little skull thing that you hold. But it's capable of very quick movement and fire. So you're kind of... pressing the button every, it's on the beat. No, and as you keep playing, more parts of the song come up. Like, originally you just kind of have the bass, and then you hit, then the rhythm comes in, and with the final level being the vocals come in. So, and that's kind of the hardest to achieve. And so, like, when you're doing well, you got the metal going on, and it's doing its thing, and you're playing along the beat. And it's that's kind of the goal of the game. But it's a Doom style game, to where it's arena based, so you're sort of strafe shooting and jumping and all that fun stuff.
So is there a story at all to this, or is it just gameplay for the gameplay's sake?
There is a story. It is extremely basic. It's basically the voice actor. I can't remember his name, but he's in a lot of stuff. It's kind of weird. He's just trying to get to the end, basically. He's trying to prove himself. He's trying to become the baddest demon in hell. I guess, you know, that's the best way to describe it. And it's very loose, though. Like, it's every level has kind of like an intro, and that's it. But it is not. You're not going to play this for the story.
And how does the gameplay, like, compare to a Doom? Because Doom was near perfect, and I mean that first Doom remake was just pretty much peak first person shooter, arena based anyway. So this is clearly wants to ride those coattails. Does it do that well, or is it just kind of okay?
So it's tough. What I'll start by saying is that this, like, they're straight up glory kills. And like, the way your health system works and stuff is ripped right out of that Doom 2016 of glory kills. It is not as robust as Doom Eternal. Like, Doom Eternal had the sort of rock, paper, scissors system. You know, you do this for health, you do this for ammo, you do this for shield. It's not that. It's far more akin to Doom 2016, that when you need health, you got to do these glory kills. There are pickups during the rest of the level and stuff like that too, but it's weird. So playing on the rhythm is cool. Like, it's because it's sort of, what's the word I want to use? Music in Doom in general has always sort of been a staple of the franchise, but it's never been the sort of focal point in terms of, like, we're going to make this part of the game. So when you've got stuff flying around and you're trying to sort of stay on beat and hit everything, I'm not enjoying it, but I just don't know if it adds anything. Like, that's my biggest problem, is that I just don't know if it adds anything, in that I kind of wish I was just not having to do it. At the same time, it's the point of the game, and you don't have to play on the beat, but then you never get the, you know, it's, you can still kill things. You can play this game entirely and not have to play on the beat, and you have just kind of an okay arena shooter. But because of that, because of the beat playing, the enemies aren't as tough. Like, because if you get off beat and stuff like that, you can't have a game like Doom Eternal where you're just constantly being hit from every single angle, because you also have to play on the beat. And so it's kind of weird in that if you're not playing on the beat, it's just kind of an okay shooter. If you are playing on the beat, I don't know if I'm exactly having a good time. Like, it's cool, but I just don't know if it adds anything for me.
I was going to, because I was wondering just how, because the rhythm-based aspect of it is so intertwined in the gameplay. I was really just wondering, like, if you don't do well with that part, shooting on beat, is the game still the game?
Yeah, so basically you're just, it's a score attack at that point. Like, right. You're trying to get the highest score, and you do get, like, bonuses, like, with damage and stuff like that. If you're on a 16X, whatever, that's, like, the highest you can get, a 16X. Like, so it incentivizes you to do that. But it's also kind of brutal in that, like, if you just miss a couple times, like, you're done. And what's also weird is, like, it's not like Rock Band, to where if you don't play on the beat, you don't just lose your score. If you try to play on the beat and you miss, that's a different story, because you have basically four different weapons. Think of it like a shotgun, a sword, a pistol, and sort of like a quicker pistol, I guess you could say. I don't like using the sword because it's really weird trying to swing something to a beat, if that makes sense. Whereas a gun has that sort of instant gratification of, like, I press the button, the gun goes off, I played it on the beat. With the sword, you have to sort of, it's almost like a weird ballet that you're trying to do of just, like, I might have swung on the beat, but maybe the swung took longer than I wanted it to. So, like, it's almost like a weird Mortal Kombat combo at that point, to where you want to keep pressing the button on the beat, but then sometimes, depending on what enemy that you're facing, like, the sword seems like the wrong option. I just never found a moment to where the sword made sense to me.
What about the glory kill? I feel like that would throw you off beat too.
So the glory kill has a super, super generous dash to it, basically, to where you can be really far from somebody and hit the glory kill, and you still do want to hit it on beat. And it also does have a dash mechanic as well, similar to Doom Eternal, in that you can dash on the beat. And the best way I can describe it is that Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal, I think, did exactly what they were trying to do with those games. They're very different games, but they're the same ideas, but they nailed them entirely. I feel like this game is what happens if you tried to make Doom Eternal but didn't do it as well. Like, having a dash and having a sword, which, again, Doom Eternal did have, like, having all these different pieces, I'm having trouble putting them together, because, and it might just be the fact that I started on controller. I don't think the game plays well on a controller, and I think that's also Doom Eternal's biggest criticism, is that if you don't have an elite controller for Doom Eternal on console, I don't know if you could play that game well. Like, there's so much going on in that game, like, with the dashing and the reloading and the flamethrower. Like, the system I've set up on my elite controller for that game is nuts. Like, it's absolutely nuts. And it took me, you know, that game is a workout. You play a level in that game, you have to kind of stand up, take a break, and, like, okay, I need to, like, reconfigure here. To play well at Metal Hellsinger, I think you can do it, but you're going to have to really customize it the way exactly that you want, to where you're dashing and you're pulling the trigger exactly on the beat where you want to. What I'll say is, like, I basically ended up sticking with the shotgun the entire time, and the trick with the shotgun is that because of the reload, it sort of skips a beat, whereas the pistols, you really kind of keep playing on the beat every single time. So the shotgun, it was a little bit easier for me to play on the beat, because I wasn't having to constantly hit that button of just, like, I could kind of, like, boom, boom, like, or instead of having to hit it on do every single time. So, but the thing was, is, like, once I got that down, like, I just don't think it adds anything. like it's cool, and it's cool like when they start singing and everything, and I get to an area to where, like, you know, the vocals are going and the metal's going, and then like I start fighting some new enemies, but then as soon as I screw up, like, my momentum just comes to such a halt that I'm just like, okay, like, so, all right, let's start over. Like,
so here's what gets me when I saw this coming out, when I saw the gameplay, and I saw the not the gimmick, but the premise of the game. I guess I'm trying to understand. Help me out here. What is the point of shooting on beats besides, like, you said you get a higher score, which is cool, but what else happens? Like, are there power-ups involved? Do you get, like, do you get invisibility if you do enough perfect shots, or does the music change if you do, like what is the benefit besides score, or what is the gameplay change besides score?
All it is like, yeah, with each level of your multiplier, you get another part of the song. So it starts with the beat, then it adds the rhythm, then it adds like a guitar, and then it adds the vocals. The vocals is the last one, but that's it, really. Like, it's just the score in that. There are some, like, and this is kind of the other weird part, is you start playing the game, and once you beat a level, you unlock like a challenge level, very similar to Doom Eternal with the runes. And if you go through this level, you can get like a temporary boost, and it might be like, you know, miss two notes before your thing, before your multiplier stops, or get bonus multiplier if you dash on the beat. You know, like, they do these things to where you can sort of get these multipliers, or these what's the word I want to use, mutators, to where things, you become more powerful basically as you keep playing. But all that stuff is like completely optional. Like, you don't have to do that stuff, and you don't have to interact with it. Like, it's weird. Like, the setup to me is weird of how, like you said, of just like progression is it. The progression is the problem, I think, in that I just don't feel like it adds anything, because I play these levels and then, yeah, I can go get these mutators, but the game's not long. There's only 8 levels. So by the time, like, you go through, like, at that point, it's really to go back and just get a better score. And I'm sure that's enough for some people. That makes sense in the terms of, like, that's what you do in Rock Band, right? But the thing about Rock Band is that you're usually playing music that you want to play. So, like, it's got all these pieces, and I just don't think they add up to a game that, like, I think it's cool. I'm not mad that I played it, but I don't think I'm ever gonna like, oh man, I want to play some Metal Hellsinger. Like, I just don't think I'm ever gonna do that. And the other thing is like, as you know, with rhythm games, most people, latency is a thing. You know, I have an LG OLED, like, so I have a super low latency TV, and they have a calibration tool on the console and stuff. And I feel like the calibration tool just kind of sucks. Like, I do the calibration thing, and it does a thing to where there's two different things. It does a video calibration and audio calibration. You're supposed to press the trigger on the audio part, and then you look at the screen, and then whenever the note hits the thing, you press it there. And like, it added like, it wanted to add like 140 milliseconds on both of the video and the audio. I'm just like, that seems way too high. Like, for OLEDs have an incredibly low latency, and like, yes, I have a receiver in the middle of them, but there's no way it's adding 100 milliseconds, especially when ALLM is like on. So it's just like, it's weird. And so it took me like an hour literally of messing with that, and I basically had to drop those down to about 30 to 40 milliseconds before I felt like I was finally sort of hitting the beat. And I think a lot of people could play this and be frustrated with that, because most people aren't playing with high-end gear. They're playing on a monitor, which a monitor is going to have really low latency, or they're going to be just playing on the regular old LCD, which is going to have a ton of latency, and the calibration tool doesn't seem to work right. Maybe it was just an instance with me. Maybe I have something on, maybe because I had Atmos on or something like that, that the calibration tool just didn't work the way that I wanted it to. Although I did try it with just uncompressed audio, and it still did the same thing. So it's like, I don't know. Like,
it's just not.
Yeah.
It's just not really the premise. Cool. But I think the execution, or the reason, I guess the reason you continue playing is not doing it for me. Like, so I get to hear the full song when I do well. Cool, I guess. I mean, And couple that with the idea that the gunplay isn't super great. I mean,
it's fine. It's fine.
You said there's like three weapons. I mean, like,
yeah, there's four, but
four. Like, I mean, like, I kind of want more weapons too. Like, it's. I mean,
I think it breaks at that point. Then, like,
right, exactly. So, I mean, like, yeah. As much as I like the idea of the mix, like, just me being me, I want a good shooter first and foremost, and then, because if the beat breaks down or I decide I don't just want to do the play by the beat, I still want to be able to have a Doom Eternal type of feel. And if it's just fine gunplay, then I kind of don't care, I think.
Yeah, and that's I don't think it's bad. I just don't think it's melded, whatever you want to say, together in a way that's super impressive. You know, one thing I haven't really said is, like, the locations are varied and stuff, but I don't really remember any of them. They all kind of look the same. It's tough because, like, the number one thing that makes or breaks a Doom game is map design. Like, you know, I am someone that still plays Doom OG, and I have played literally thousands of different levels and different map packs and stuff. And that is what truly makes or breaks these games. And because of, like, the music aspect, you don't really ever have time to focus on the level design because your mind is constantly focused on trying to play on the beat. Like, there's just too much going on for me to really look at any of these things and just be like, I don't have time to stop and look around at the level design. So it's almost weird that there's even levels designed to begin with, if that makes sense. Like, again, the best way I can describe it is it seems like this is what would have happened if Doom Eternal would have failed. Of just, like, not that they would have added, like, a mechanical music aspect, but it's just like there's too many things that are going on. If they don't meld together or weld, is it the term meld or weld together? What am I doing?
I think it is meld.
Welding is it meld? For some reason, that sounds bad. That sounds wrong. They don't come together in a way that feels completely organic. And I think that is totally the magic of Doom Eternal. Like, we can sit here and debate all day long whether they did too much, too little, etc. But the design of that game is strong. Where here, it seems like they wanted to make a first person shooter in that aspect, but add this other element. I just don't think it comes together in a way that makes sense. Not that it doesn't make sense. It's just not. It's not there yet. I think they're onto something. I think there could be something really cool here. And for that reason, like, it's cool. Like, I'm glad that I checked it out. It's neat. And I believe there's, like, a modding scene coming around it to add your own music and stuff like that. Like, there's going to be some really cool stuff with this game. I just think putting it in the Doom, like, scenario is where it sort of falls apart. You know, should it be a shooting gallery? I don't know. Should the game sort of play itself and you play on the beat? Maybe that was prototyped. I don't know. To me, that makes more sense, because if I can just sort of enjoy the music and have a cool first person shooter at the same time, like, there you go. That's cool. But yeah, I can't recommend it for that reason. I don't think, like, even if you're, like, a Doom fanatic or you're a metal fanatic or something like that, I think it'd be more fun to watch someone play it very well than try to play it yourself.
And, I'm not going to lie to you. That's what I got into. Like, yeah. I'd rather just watch someone else do this well, because when I kind of, it just wasn't for me, like, immediately. So I'm glad you played it and I did it.
Right. Yeah, and that's, again, I'm not mad that I played it, but I just, something feels off, and I can't put my finger on exactly what it is, but that's because I think there's a lot of little things that are just off about it. So maybe they'll keep, I don't want to say there might be a sequel, but who knows? It's cool, but I can't recommend it, kind of thing, which is kind of a bummer, because it, again, the idea is cool. So, and honestly, $40, man, that's a lot. That's a lot for this game. I think this is a $20 to $25 title at most. So,
is this a $40 game? How long is it?
Yeah. It's not that long, 5-6 hours. But again, the idea is you're supposed to go back and play it again to increase your score.
Well,
and
I'm not
that.
Doing that.
Again, that's where it falls apart.
I never like score attacks.
So yeah. Can't recommend it, unfortunately. Cool game, but yeah, is what it is. So we got one pass and one pass on it. But there you go. There is, I already forgot, Metal Hellsinger and
Chinatown Detective Agency.
That game. Should play Chinatown Detective Agency. Don't check out Metal Hellsinger, unfortunately. So there you go. When it comes to the future of this show, we're going to be doing an episode on Grid Legends and Immortals Fenyx Rising.
That's the name of that game.
Coming at you. I just now remembered it somehow. So, and then we're still playing stuff. So we're going to be doing probably a mailbag episode as well, just to talk a little bit about the industry, what's going on there. So, all right, we'll see you next time with Grid Legends and Fenyx Immortals Rising.
Good day, sirs.